Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn and Alice Bryant. Kelly Jean Kelly will tell us what's trending today, and later, Katie Weaver will bring us this week's personal technology report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Scientists say they have identified a new, smaller search area for a Malaysian passenger airplane which went missing in 2014. The scientists are with the Australian government's main scientific agency, the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization. They released a report about the missing plane on Wednesday. The agency said it believed with great precision and certainty that Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 crashed in the southern Indian Ocean. It said scientists believe the plane, a Boeing 777, came down in waters northeast of an area that once was thought to be its final resting place. 2 years of searches failed to find evidence of the aircraft or the 239 people it was carrying. The plane disappeared on a flight from Kuala Lumpur, the Malaysian capital, to Beijing on March 8, 2014. The new report identified a 25,000 square kilometer area off the coast of Western Australia as a likely crash site. The scientific agency said its finding was based on satellite images taken 2 weeks after Flight MH370 went missing. The scientists said the images, provided by France's Military Intelligence Service, showed about 70 objects floating in the water. They described some of the debris as probably man-made. The agency said it thinks the new findings could now make it possible to identify a most likely location of the aircraft. The 2-year search operation was a joint effort of Australia, China, and Malaysia. The operation was called off in January. About $160 million was spent on the search efforts. It was not clear whether the new report would lead to any new search efforts. The Australian government reacted cautiously. The Transport Safety Bureau said in a statement, the scientists had not proven that objects seen in the images came from the Malaysian plane. Oceanographer David Griffin helped to prepare the report. He admitted the scientists cannot be totally sure that objects seen in the images are actual pieces of the plane. However, he said this still may be a really good clue to find new evidence. If you are going to search, then you'd be silly to ignore this potential clue, he said. The disappearance of Flight MH370 has become one of the world's greatest flight mysteries. The plane is thought to have gone thousands of kilometers off course before crashing in the Indian Ocean. So far, only three large pieces of debris that washed ashore from the ocean have been confirmed as coming from the missing plane. I'm Brian Lynn.
The International Space Station, or ISS, received some interesting supplies Wednesday: ice cream and live mice. The SpaceX Dragon capsule connected with the ISS after a two-day flight from Cape Canaveral, Florida. American astronaut Jack Fisher used the space station's robotic arm to capture the Dragon capsule. At the time, they were traveling 400 kilometers above the Pacific Ocean near New Zealand. Most of the 3-ton load is for research. But the capsule also brought a sweet treat. The United States Space Agency, NASA, added vanilla, chocolate, and birthday cake ice cream to the food supplies. That last flavor came just in time to celebrate American astronaut Randolph Bresnik's birthday. He recently reached the ISS and turns 50 next month. Bresnik's crewmate, Peggy Whitson, will also probably enjoy the treats. She has been on the ISS since November. Congratulations on a job well done, Mission Control radioed from Houston. You guys have just won yourselves some fresh food. The Dragon also brought an extra-large science cargo. Among the supplies is an instrument to find cosmic rays. Cosmic rays are particles that hit the Earth from anywhere beyond its atmosphere. The U.S. Army also put a small satellite on board to be released from the station this fall. It has low-cost cameras and telescopes. The military wants to see how small satellites like this might help ground operations. The 20 live mice shipped to the station will be used in a study of an eye problem. Some male astronauts have suffered this problem in space. Scientists will study the pressure in the animals' eyes and how fluid moves in their brains. Florida State University's Michael Delp is leading the experiment. He says 30 days in space for mice is similar to 3 years for humans. Sometimes the vision problem lasts long after space flight. Delp says the study may help explain why female astronauts do not experience the problem. Also on the space station are protein crystals that may provide information about Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's is a chronic brain and nervous system disease that affects people's movement. The Michael J. Fox Foundation is a partner in the experiment. Fox is an actor who suffers from the disease. SpaceX is one of NASA's two main shippers for station supplies. Orbital ATK is the other. The company is set to transport supplies to the station in November from the state of Virginia. The two companies took over transporting cargo after NASA retired the space shuttles. The SpaceX Dragon is the only supply ship that can return cargo to Earth. Its reusable rocket landed back at Cape Canaveral shortly after sending the Dragon into space. The crew stands ready to rock the science like a boss, Fisher said, talking about the research supplies from the Dragon. He said it is enough for more than 250 experiments in the coming months. The three astronauts, along with Italian crew member Paolo Nespoli, will carry out the research. Need to get back to work. We've got a Dragon to unload, Fisher told Mission Control. The other current ISS crew members are Georgian cosmonaut Fyodor Yurchikhin and Russian cosmonaut Sergei Nikolaevich.
On Monday, August 21st, the Sun, Moon, and Earth will line up perfectly over many parts of the United States. This event, called a total solar eclipse, will turn day into night for a few minutes. Then the skies will slowly lighten again. For the first time in nearly 100 years, the total solar eclipse will be visible from the U.S. West Coast to the East Coast. The total eclipse can be seen along a path about 110 kilometers wide and reach across 14 states. Many areas near the main path should notice some darkness in the sky. A partial eclipse will extend up through Canada and down through Central America and the top of South America. This eclipse is expected to be the most ever studied and celebrated. Many places have organized events or are offering special products to celebrate the total solar eclipse. For example, you can find such products at the Eclipse Kitchen, a restaurant in Makanda, Illinois. It is selling eclipse t-shirts, safety glasses, and even eclipse burgers. Scientists are also very excited about this eclipse. This is a really amazing chance to just open the public's eyes to wonder, says Angela Desjardins of Montana State University.
Desjardins, a physicist, is leading an eclipse balloon project for NASA, the U.S. Space Agency. On August 21st, students will launch balloons equipped with cameras into the sky. The cameras will send back video of the eclipse along the way. Powerful satellites and telescopes on the ground will also be pointed at the sun and the moon's shadow. Astronauts will do the same with cameras on the International Space Station. Ships and airplanes will also catch the action. Thomas Zurbuchen is the head of NASA's Science Mission Office. He said, "It's going to be hard to beat, frankly." At the same time, researchers will watch how animals and plants react to the darkness. It will be like nightfall, with temperatures expected to drop. NASA will also present a special eclipse program on television and the internet from Charleston, South Carolina. Charleston will be the most eastern viewing point in the U.S. for the total eclipse.
The eclipse will last just 1.5 hours as the moon's shadow moves from coast to coast at speeds faster than 2,400 kilometers an hour. The sun's crown, its normally visible outer atmosphere, known as the corona, will shine in a circle around the eclipse. It is true that full solar eclipses happen every 1, 2, or 3 years when the moon positions itself between the sun and Earth. But they are often only visible in the middle of the ocean or near the less populated North or South poles. In no other country but the U.S. will the total eclipse be visible from one end of the country to the other. But the full path of the eclipse is much longer. It starts in the North Pacific Ocean, ends in the Atlantic, and covers 13,800 kilometers. 21 U.S. national park locations and 7 national historic trails will be in the eclipse's path. Looking at the sun with unprotected eyes is always dangerous, except during the few minutes when the sun, moon, and Earth are fully in line. But eye protection is needed before and after the full eclipse.
About 200 million Americans live within one day's drive of the main path, and huge crowds are expected. Transportation officials are already warning travelers to be patient. Kevin Van Horn is an astronomy lover from a town near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He plans to make the 8.5-hour drive to Nashville, Tennessee, with his wife, Cindy. Nashville is the largest city along the eclipse's main path. Without the trip, Van Horn noted, it would be like going to the Super Bowl and sitting outside the stadium rather than being inside and watching it. But this will be the 13th total solar eclipse for Rick Feinberg, a representative of the American Astronomical Society. He will be traveling to Oregon for the event. Going through life without ever experiencing totality, Feinberg said, is like going through life without ever falling in love. To give everyone a chance to see the eclipse, many U.S. schools are canceling classes, and some workplaces plan to take a break or close for the day. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
This is what's trending today. Barack Obama was the first president of the United States to be active on social media. When Obama left office in January, many people wondered if he would continue using services like Facebook and Twitter. It turns out he tweets only a few times a month. After Donald Trump became president, Obama used Twitter to say some goodbyes and share memories from his 8 years in the White House. He wished everyone a happy Valentine's Day on February 14th. In March, he tweeted about International Women's Day, the death of singer Chuck Berry, and a terrorist attack in London. In May, he tweeted about the bomb that killed over 20 people after American singer Ariana Grande performed in Manchester, England. In June, Obama wrote that of all the many things he has done, he was most proud to be the father of daughters Sasha and Malia, and he wished everyone a happy Father's Day. Since then, he went on social media to write about health care as the U.S. Senate debated the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. And he wished Senator John McCain a speedy recovery after tests showed McCain has a form of brain cancer. But it was Obama's tweet from last weekend that has received the most attention. In fact, it is now the most liked tweet of all time, with over 3.3 million likes in just a few days. Obama used Twitter to quote former South African President Nelson Mandela after deadly violence in the American city of Charlottesville, Virginia. His tweet came after a day in which white nationalists gathered to protest the city's decision to move the statue of a Civil War general. Other protesters also gathered to denounce the group. One woman was killed and more than 20 others injured when a man drove a car into the counter-protesters. Obama wrote, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion." The former president included a photograph of himself looking through a window at three children of different races. The Mandela quote continued to two more tweets, but the first one got the most attention. The tweet surpassed a tweet from Ariana Grande that expressed sympathy for those hurt by the bomb that exploded after her show. By Wednesday morning, Obama's tweet was the fifth most retweeted of all time, according to the website fabstar.fm. And that's what's trending today. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
Last week, Facebook announced its newest service, Facebook Watch, which lets you watch original videos on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, founder and CEO of Facebook, announced on his Facebook page that the service will be coming soon. Facebook Watch is a streaming video service, like Netflix. Facebook Watch also is similar to traditional television, in that shows will be scheduled. You can watch shows as they are added each week at a certain day and time, just like traditional TV. Facebook Watch is free. Some shows will have advertisements, however. Facebook Watch will include news, entertainment, sports, cooking, and reality programs. Some shows will be broadcast live, while others will be recorded. Facebook plans to have hundreds of shows available at first, up to thousands of shows later. Major League Baseball will be showing one game a week on Facebook Watch. Other shows will come from sites such as A&E, Mashable, National Public Radio, NASA, and National Geographic. One example of a new Facebook Watch show is Returning the Favor with Mike Rowe. Rowe will visit towns where people are doing extraordinary things. Then he will do something extraordinary for them in return. You can suggest people to be included on the show by posting on Mike Rowe's Facebook page. Unlike other streaming media or traditional TV, Facebook Watch has social features that can help users connect with others. Mark Zuckerberg said, "It can be a chance to share an experience and bring people together who care about the same things." Users will be able to add comments on Facebook as they watch. They can discuss a show with their friends as it is broadcast. Shows on Facebook Watch will include fan groups that Facebook users can join. In the groups, users can share their thoughts and connect with others to discuss the show. Facebook has added several ways to make it easy to find shows that interest you. Facebook Watch has a watch list, so you can remember to watch your favorite shows as soon as they become available. There is also a Discover section to help find shows that might interest you. Facebook Watch will suggest videos that your Facebook friends like. You will find them in the fittingly titled "What Your Friends Are Watching" section. Additionally, users will see suggestions for videos popular across Facebook in sections such as "Most Talked About" or "What's Making People Laugh." Facebook Watch is now available to a small group of Facebook users in the United States. The group is helping to test for any problems in the service. When ready, Facebook Watch will become available to all users in the country. Later, it will be released to the entire Facebook world. Facebook Watch can be used through Facebook's mobile app and website. Look for a TV icon on Facebook to see whether you have Facebook Watch. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.